We'll be in Acts chapter number 9 this morning. Acts chapter number 9. I love the Apostle Paul. I don't think you can be saved without loving him. Reading your Bible and experiencing the Word of God through the steps and the words and the life of a man that was forever changed. He was forever changed by another man who he thought he was serving, but he wasn't. That's the way religion is. Religion makes you think that you're doing something right when really you're doing something wrong and you're on the fast track to hell. That's what religion does. And there's a lot of Baptist religious folks on the fast track to hell without hope and without God. But here's a man who is the example. He is the pattern that God put in the Word of God for us today. Paul is called. He calls himself a pattern to them which shall believe hereafter, over in the book of Timothy. Acts chapter 9, let's look at a few verses here. Verse number 17. The Bible says this, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said," I like this, "Brother Saul," he's a brother, "the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then said Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." What a change from chapter 8 to chapter 9. Now, what in the world happened to this man? Verse 21, "But all that heard him were amazed," because they knew who he was, "and said, Is not this he that destroyeth them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." And I wonder this morning if you have met this very Christ. What happens when a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl comes in contact head first, head on collision with Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that say they've met him, but I don't think they've met him. You say, why? Well, we have a Bible that tells us what happens when a man has a head on collision with this very Christ. When a man becomes a Christian, you know, nature forms us and sin deforms us, and schools, they inform us, and prisons, they reform us. But I'm telling you this morning, it's only Christ, this very Christ, that can transform us, that can change our life. And a Christian is not someone who's become nice. I tell you what a Christian is. A Christian, a believer, a saved, born-again believer, someone who's become new. They are no longer on the same track that they were before they met this very Christ. And it's not turning over a new leaf. And sometimes you talk to people, they just say, "I just hadn't got my life in order yet. I haven't got everything lined out. I'm just not ready to receive Christ. I got to get some things straightened out." Are you crazy? Listen, the only way you can meet this very Christ is if you become a sinner. You've got to get dirty, rotten, stinking, no good for nothing before you can meet him. Why? Because he came to save who? sinners. He didn't come to save saved people or religious people. He came to save people that's got their life a wreck. You said, my life's a wreck. You're in good shape for the Lord to change your life. You know, getting saved is not like a tadpole who has become a frog. You know what getting saved is? Getting saved by the grace of God is like a frog who has received that kiss of grace from the Lord and has now become a prince with God and man. That's what a Christian is. Someone that's been changed radically and dramatically changed. And Paul was one of those men. So here's what we're going to do this morning. I want you to do a checkup. Just do a checkup and ask yourself this. Is this what happened to me? Is this really what happened to me? I don't believe in preaching doubt at all. I hate that. I've been around them doubt preachers, you know. 3-hour invitations, and if you don't know that you 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 know, no. You need to come down here and get saved. Foolishness. Man, there's been times when I wasn't, you know, if you're not 100% sure, if you're only 99.99999% sure that you're saved, and there's a 0.00001 chance you just need to come down here and get saved. I don't believe in all that foolishness. I don't believe that. And you get people as confused as a termite and a yo-yo. The fact, you say, can I doubt? If I'm saved, can I doubt? Sure you can doubt. Sure. Matter of fact, probably most people, there's probably a few that haven't, but most people have doubted their salvation. That's why the Lord in 1 John had to write, these things have I written unto you, believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. The reason why he wrote them is so you can know them, because if you can know them, that means you can what? Doubt them. So I'm not preaching doubt this morning, but I do think it would be in order for you to examine yourself and ask yourself this morning, have I had a head-on collision with this very Christ? What happens when a man meets this Christ? Number one, I want to say this, that this man has a new Lord in his life. He has a new Lord. Look, if you will, in verse number 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, what's the next two words? The Lord. The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, let's go back to verse number 5. This is the experience that Paul had. In verse 5 of our text, the Bible says, and he said, let's go back to verse number 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. This is Paul. This is Saul on the road to Damascus. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, look at this now, who art thou? Who?
Lord.
And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, essayed and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. There's two questions there that he asked. He said, who art thou, Lord? And then he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And Paul spent the rest of his life finding the answer to those two questions. Who art thou, Lord? And what do you want me to do? You know, life would be a whole lot simpler if we just try to get to know the Lord a little more closer, a little more intimately. And then I answer the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? You say, you already told me what to do. Well, he might change it. You just think you know everything. But I'm telling you, God will speak to you, and you better ask him. You say, I'll figure it out myself. Bad move. I've been down that road. Amen. You better find out what God wants you to do today. You know what I got up this morning? You say, what'd you do? Got ready for church. Well, I know this is what God wanted me to do today. You said, what's he want you to do tomorrow? Probably get up and go to work. I'm not going to try to complicate it. But Lord, what do you want me to do? Who art thou, Lord? He had a new Lord. The Lord was the Lord of his life. He was no longer in control. The word Lord means master. It's the one who is control. Listen, Paul was under new management now. He was no longer the Lord of his own life. He had a new manager, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot have what God gives, and that is salvation, unless you receive who he is, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, that if thou shalt confess of thy mouth the Lord Jesus, not the Savior, not the Christ, but the Lord Jesus. Sometimes people come to an altar and they say, I want to get saved. I want to receive Jesus. I want to receive the Savior. But they have no intentions of receiving the Lord. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus. You cannot receive him unless you receive him as the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not one of those preachers that say, well, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all, because I don't know of too many people that he is Lord of all. I've heard that foolishness preaching. And boy, you talk about make you doubt. Like, man, he's not Lord of everything, so he's not Lord of all, so they get another prayer out of him. You know, run them through the mill, man. I've seen it. We used to have, when I was in school, that church there, we had so many people. There were so many people there. You had all different stripes and types. And we had one guy, man, he never went to the Sunday morning service. This is the God honest truth. And I know you wouldn't believe this, but he was a PBI graduate. Amen. Don't be too shocked. He wouldn't go to the Sunday morning church. He'd get in a church van and he'd drive around and find some homeless person. And he'd make a deal with them and tell them if they come to church that he'd take them out to eat or take them to go get ice cream or whatnot. And in the midst of all of that, during that 11 to 12 o'clock hour, he would find somebody that would get in the van with him and he'd show them a few verses and ask if they want to be saved, lead them in the sinner's prayer. And man, here he comes right through the side door. And man, he'd march him up there and man, he'd strut like a peacock every Sunday. Had somebody to pray the sinner's prayer. And I'm telling you, you could tell by that individual that man, he might have received the Savior, but he didn't receive the Lord. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a new manager of your life. And he is your master. He's the one that's in control. He's the one at the helm of the ship. He's the one that has the yoke of that airplane. He is the one who has the steering wheel. He is the one who is driving your life. I'm telling you, listen to this. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me way and walk me not. You call me life and desire me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and you seek me not. You call me gracious and you trust me not. You call me noble and you serve me not. You call me mighty and you honor me not. You call me just and you fear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. I wonder how many in our churches, they've never received the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, he's my Savior. Is he your Lord? Are you under new management? Is he the master of your life? Paul said, the Lord, even Jesus. Not only do you receive him as the Lord of your life. Number two, I want you to see here that Paul had some new light in his life. He's no longer walking in this darkness. Verses 17 and 18, and Ananias went his way and entered to the house, putting his hands on Saul, said, Brother Saul, on him, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that thou appeared unto thee in the way that thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. He was in darkness. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. He is now able to see some things. The Lord is my light and he is my salvation. When you receive the Lord, you receive with the Lord a new light. You can see things that you never saw before. Did you know lost people, they cannot see it. They just can't see it. You say, I don't understand that. They are blind to the world. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world who hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Don't curse a lost person for acting like a lost person. They're just lost. They're walking in darkness. They're doing what lost people do. But my fear this morning is that there's church people that have continued in darkness, and they're saying that they have received the light. The glorious light of the gospel has shined in their heart. Has it really? Why is there so much darkness? Why has there not been this new Lord and this new light come into your life? You know, this book is a supernatural book. You know how I know it's supernatural? I've been reading it since 2002. At least once a year, sometimes two or three times. And this year I've tried to go through it a few more times than that. And I'm telling you, every single time I go through this Bible, I see verses I have never seen before. Now, I know I've seen them. But you know, this book is so supernatural. The light of God shines on this book. And I say, I've never seen that before. I saw a verse last night when I was going through Proverbs. And I thought, I've read Proverbs. I remember reading Proverbs once a month. Several years. That's 12 times in a year. And I'm telling you, I thought to myself, that verse was never there. Just saw it. I've never seen it before. And it makes me, God reminds me of how much little I don't know. You said, man, I've got that book master. I've been in church all my life. There are things in this Bible you have never seen before. And you know why you hadn't seen them? Because the Holy Ghost of God, the light of the glorious gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, has not shined that light upon those verses yet. And if you have God living in you, you know what He'll do? He'll shine this light on this book, and He'll show you some things that you've never seen before. New light. I'm thankful that I can walk in light. I don't like darkness. Only when I'm sleeping do I like darkness. When it's time, listen, sometimes I'll walk in my house and people will be sitting around in dark, and I know I got to pay for the light bill, but I'm going to turn the light on. I just don't like looking at people in the dark. Amen. I'm spooky. I'm spooky. So you go to the bathroom and turn on the lights. Amen. My grandpa nicknamed me Boogers. He still to this day. If you go to my grandpa's house, when I call him, he says, "Hey, Boogers." My name's not Brian. It's not Bubba. Amen. It's Boogers all the time. You say why? Because when I was a little kid, when I went to the bathroom, amen, I always had to have somebody stand outside the door. My dad used to play tricks on me. He'd stand outside the door, and I'd be looking over my shoulder, making sure he was still there. Probably making a mess on the toilet seat too, amen. One time my dad ran away, and I ran with him, and before everything was stopped. He said, "What's going on? There's monsters back there." So my grandpa says, "There's boogers. There's boogers back there." So he still to this day calls me Boogers. Well, I like light. Amen. Light. I don't like dark. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The reason why so many people like the nighttime. You know what you need to do at night? Go home. Amen. I worked last night until midnight. Amen. Doing some grocery deliveries. And I was talking with Brother Chris, and he said, "You better watch out." Amen. And he's right. I said, "What do? I put a pistol on my hip." Amen. Got me a Surefire flashlight, and I'm constantly looking. I'm spooky. I'm telling you, thank God for the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn the lights on, amen. When you get saved by the grace of God, you know what He'll do? He'll turn the light on for you. You can see things that you've never saw before. You can see the beauty of the Lord. Man, you go outside and you look at the birds and you look at the trees and you look at the grass. You know how you see it? You used to take it for granted, but I'm telling you now that you got God living inside you, you see things from a different perspective because the light has been turned on. And then number three, I'll tell you what else you get. You get some liberty. Verses 17 here said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way that thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mayest receive sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, you don't have to go through life alone. You can have the Holy Ghost lead you and guide you and direct you, and there is liberty. So many people think that getting saved is bondage. Man, if I get born again, I'm going to be bound to the church and bound to all these rules and bound to all these regulations, and I'm not going to have any fun anymore, and I'm going to have to walk with my head down. No, it's just the opposite. Thank God the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty, there's freedom. Freedom in Christ, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me what? Free! Hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Galatians 2:20 said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. His divinity has inhabited my humanity, and we can be filled with the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you this morning, it is wicked, it is ungodly, it is absolutely high treason against heaven's king to try to live the Christian life and to do the work of God without being filled with the Spirit of God. May God forgive us. May God forgive me for preaching without the Spirit of God. May God forgive the singers for singing without the Spirit of God. May forgive you. God forgive you for working without the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, we can be filled with the Spirit of God. You say, how do I get filled? I believe if we'll say it, we'll mean it, we'll obey it, eventually God will fill us. Now, I don't think we can just on the dime, like preachers taught us in Bible school, and I'm not saying I got it all figured out, but I'm just saying this, it is pretty simple, and yet it's so profound that this morning that God would put the Holy Ghost in us, and then He would lead us and guide us and direct us, and He would give us the liberty in Christ to live the Christian life. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, I want you to stay. Okay, Lord. What next? I'll let you know whenever it's time. I want you to go. Yes, Lord. How long you want me to stay there? I don't know. I'll let you know whenever it's time to come home. The Spirit of God will talk to you, and He will lead you, and He will tell you what to do. If you'll ask Him, you'll listen to Him, and you'll wait for His voice. And when you hear His voice, you obey His voice. And there's liberty in Christ. When we obey Him, what we surrender, He takes. What He takes, He cleanses. What He cleanses, He fills. What He fills, He uses. It's pretty simple, isn't it? The Christian life is the simple life. It's a normal life. And this morning you can have liberty in Christ, because Christ hath made us free. So many people have complicated this thing. You know what else you can have? You can have a new love in your heart. Love that you never had before. Verse number 19 says this, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days. Look at this. Now he's with the disciples. You know what he used to be doing? In chapter 9, verse 1, and Saul yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Between verse number 1 and verse number 19, he met the Lord in verses 5. He asked him what he wanted to do in verse number 6. And then he obeyed what God told him to do. And now he's with the disciples and he is experiencing life. He's experiencing love. He went from bad in verse number 1 to brotherhood in verse number 19. He is with the disciples. He went from loathe to love. He is now, verse number 17 says, he is brother Saul. You know, if you love Jesus, you're going to love what Jesus loves. You know what Jesus loves? He loves the church. Look at verse 1 John. Turn over there with me real quick. 1 John in chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4, if you want some assurance that you are saved. You know how one of the reasons you can know you're saved? Right here, verse number 7. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, and not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. The church is the body of Christ, and the church is the bride of Christ. That's why Paul said this over in verse number 3. After Paul was breathing out threatening and slaughterings against the church, when God began to speak to him in verse number 4, look at what he said here in verse 4 of chapter 9. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou who? Me. He said, who is he persecuting? He was persecuting the disciples. But whenever he was persecuting the disciples, the Lord said, when you hurt them, you hurt me, because they are the body of Christ and they are the bride of Christ. Christ is the head and we are the body. And I'm saying this morning, you cannot be saved by the grace of God and hate the church. You can't. He said, I just don't like the church. I don't like God's people. Then you're probably not saved. When you get saved, listen, you've got a new love that came in. You love the church. You love the people of God. You love the Word of God. You love the preaching of God. You love being in here. You love the songs of Zion. You love the hymns of the faith. You love the preaching. You love the invitations. You love it. Why? Because Christ came in. You met this very Christ. And now you want to be with the disciples as Paul was with the disciples. A lot of change from verse 1 to verse number 19. The church and Christ, they're not identical, but I tell you what they are. They're inseparable. You got Christ, you got the church. You can't have one without the other. Like a head and a body. You say, I just want the body. I don't want no head. Just give me a woman. Give me a wife, but I don't want her head. Just want her body. You can't. Kind of a weird illustration, isn't it? But it's true. I better keep that one to myself. All right, lastly, he has a new labor, and I'm done. He has a new labor. He went from breathing out threatenings and slaughter in verse number 1. He was an enemy of the church. And now he's got a new labor in verses 20. The Bible says this, and straightway he preached. I like that. He preached. Yesterday we had the Christmas parade there in Conroe, and Brother Chris Clement did a bang up job. Miss Erica, thank you. And man, that thing was well prepared, well planned, Brother Josh. That float looks top notch. Man, we walked up there and just like, wow, look at this thing. It looks like a mini Shady Acres on the back of a trailer. It's cool. We went up there and they had all those bags that we'd stuffed over there, and I don't know, 6,000 or so yesterday. Man, full of chick tracks. By the way, Remember Brother Gipps said the church ought not to ever have to buy a chick track, right? Because God's people ought to buy them. That way you have investment in getting the gospel out. I like that. And right now, today's what, the 15th? 13th. So on the 17th, until the 17th, I've never seen this, Brother Eubanks, but until the 17th, the Chick Publications, they're offering the tracks for half price if you buy a case. There's 1,000 in a case. I got an email. And Brother Eubanks, I think, gets 40% off right now. They're 50% off, so they're normally 17 cents. Right now, you can get them for 8.5 cents a piece through the 17th. If anybody wants to order Chick tracks, amen, we'll get them out. And we went yesterday and began to start that parade and had those little bags and passing them out. And Brother Louis started us off, man, jumped on the back of that trailer, started preaching. What do we preach? Christ. And then we just kind of took turns. Brother Louis and Brother Chris and then myself and Brother Josh. Even Brother Kevin got up there, amen, preaching the word of God from the back of a trailer. While we're going, you say, you look like fools. No, we were being kind. Just preaching Christ. Telling those people that Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. And Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Amen. And He can change their life. And we have a new labor now. We used to do whatever we wanted to do. It was about the weekends were about you and about your family. And about just all the pleasures of this life and the flesh. And I tell you what the labor is now. Your labor is about getting the gospel to the world if you're born again. Verse 20, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Verse 21, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? Verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength. Confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. He wanted others to know about his Savior. And he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, from Romans to the book of Hebrews. His missionary journeys, deaths oft and scourgings, fastings, hunger. And Paul at the end of his life said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. Here he is alone in a jail cell. He said, all that for Christ? Yes. He said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Sadly, in the long this life's journey, in this labor, he did make that statement, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans went to Galatia, and Titus went to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. I'm thankful that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But thank God there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And I'm telling you, you can believe this morning too. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, thank God, amen, I was one of those. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I'm telling you this morning, God can take you and make you a new creature in Jesus Christ. Thank God, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you can have a new Lord. You can have a new love. You can have a new liberty. You can have some new life. And you can have a new labor if you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and let Him change your life forevermore. And I say this morning, the church cannot do it. Religion cannot do it. Baptism cannot do it. Bible reading cannot do it. Good works cannot do it. There's only one man that can change your life. And his name is Jesus. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder this morning if there's anybody here that say, Brother Brian, you're preaching to me. I don't have a new Lord. I don't love the church. I don't love the people of God. I have no love in my heart. I have no liberty. And I sure don't have any concern for the labor of getting the gospel to the world. I've got good news. If by faith you'll turn from your sins and you'll come down to this old-fashioned altar, we'll take a Bible and we'll show you what this Bible says about how to meet this man who's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he can change you, put you on a new path, give you a new direction, give you hope and help and healing that no man on this earth could ever offer you. Let's all stand. Father, Lord, we need you this morning. Father, I pray this morning, God, that you would help somebody. I don't know who I'm preaching to, God, but you know exactly where they're at, what they need this morning, Lord. And the best I knew how this morning, through prayer and by faith, I've tried to tell somebody that Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will save them today if by faith they'll take a step towards you. And I pray that you give them the strength to say yes to you this morning. Help those of us that are saved to pray, God, that the devils will be bound, and that somebody would get the gospel, Lord. Lord, the hounds of hell would love to keep somebody from saying yes to Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd help us that are saved, Lord, to do thy diligence. Father, to pray and preach and pursue the Lord and get the gospel to this world. Father, help us now to live for you, love you, and serve you, and to walk in this light. Father, Lord, change our lives forevermore in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Gary?
Hymn number 280.
Hymn 280. These altars are open this morning. If you need to come, saints of God, if you need to come pray, why don't you pray? Lost sinner, man, woman, boy, or girl, why don't you come? Oh, listen. Jesus can change your life. Say yes to Him. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He'll save you today. Why don't you come to Jesus? Come home. Don't procrastinate. Jesus Christ can change your life. Then you can serve Him with your life. Just the beginning, getting saved, just the beginning. Man, I'd hate to go through this crazy world without Him. Without knowing Him, without the light to shine on this book, to give me hope. Show me what's going on around me. To increase my faith. So I can walk by faith and walk in the light. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. As Jesus talked about.